Today I want to talk about four things. I want to mention what the season is. Let's get into the season. I'm going to do something that's going to make Archbishop mad, so be forgiving of me. I'm also going to introduce to you a child that I met that changed the way I'm entering into the season. And then I'm going to give you an Advent challenge. Those are four things today. Let's start by the readings which we had right here. You know, little Ashy, young Ashy. She read that first reading. This is what it says. I'm just going to read you quotations from it. The days are coming when I will fulfill the promise I made. It says, in those days, in that time. Madison gave us a second reading, and it says a lot. It says, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his holy ones. And Deacon Marvin, when he proclaimed the gospel, what did the gospel say? The gospel said, in anticipation of what is coming into the world. It said, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Again, Jesus said, what he exhorts us, he says, stand erect, raise up your heads, be vigilant at all times. So what's this all about? What's it all about? It's all about what the Lord's coming. Jesus Christ is coming. When does he come? He comes three times. We talk about this all the time in Advent. Jesus Christ comes three times. One, at the end of time. That's when all things are done and all things is made manifest, as the preface right before we begin the liturgy of the Eucharist right there is going to say. He comes to make all things manifest as he, Christ the King, at the end of time. But second time, the first time that he came, rather, was as baby. Christmas. Jesus Christ the King as a babe comes to us at Christmas. His birthday. But he also comes to us the third moment, which is more important to us. It's every day. Jesus Christ makes himself manifest, shows himself, comes into our lives, is desiring to enter into us every single day. We just got to let him in. That's what our Lord is begging of us always. Let me in. I have something to say. Dante and I had a long conversation about that last night. Everything it is, brothers and sisters, everything that I as a priest do, it's all about this. It's to help you see this. To help you see our Lord is coming, our Lord has come, and our Lord is coming into your lives. Everything that I do as a priest is to remind myself of that fact so that I can be ready for it too. Now what I'm going to tell you right here is going to make the Archbishop mad. Okay, so I don't want anybody to tell the Archbishop this, because if he learns about this, I might get fired. Okay? I want to be here until I die, God willing. So don't tell the Archbishop about what I'm about to say, because it'll make him mad. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you one of my favorite Christmas songs. And in case you didn't notice, it's not Christmas yet. And the Archbishop hates that. No Christmas songs outside of Christmas season. Here's one of my favorite Christmas songs. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Joy. Christmas is about joy. That's what the season is all about. This song, I love it so much because it tells what Advent season is and explodes with joy because God is here. What is Advent all about? It's all about let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. It's all about this preparation. What do we do at Christmas? At Christmas, when we're getting ready for the season, it's all about turning to those who we love, turning to those who are in relationship, our family members, and saying, hey, guess what? I've been thinking about you. Guess what? I love you. Guess what? I have a desire to deepen that friendship with you and to demonstrate that by what? Giving a gift. Giving something that expresses in some small way how I feel about you, how I know something about you. This is what you need, or this is what I think about. I want to remain with you, but I can't be with you all the time, so take this gift. But do we pick out a gift for Jesus? During the season, we're getting gifts for everybody. Do we prepare a gift for our Lord at Christmas? It's his birthday, isn't it? That song said what? It said, if we want to let every heart to prepare him room, if we let every heart prepare room for Jesus, then guess what? The earth will be ready to receive her King, who is Jesus. We gotta let our hearts prepare room within ourselves. And then the earth will be ready, our hearts will be ready to declare Christ as King. I want to share with you a child. A child that changed my life this past month. A child from here. And just for ease, I'm going to call this child by the name of Jordan. Okay? Why am I choosing Jordan? Because Jordan can be a boy's name or a girl's name. Huh? So you don't know whether this is a little boy or a little girl, a young man or a young woman. But this child was between grade 7 and grade 2. This is a child that changed my life that I had met this past month. And see, what happened was this child, Jordan came by and was there at the back of the church, waiting for me, waiting patiently for me to come. And this young Jordan, when Jordan was there, looked at me and said, "Father, I don't want to go anywhere. Can I just stay here? Can I just stay here with you? I don't want to go where I'm supposed to go. Can I just stay?" Tell that there's something bugging young Jordan. So I sat down with young Jordan, brought young Jordan into that back pew there, and we sat there for a long time, began to ask questions. And every time I'd talk about Jesus, every time I'd talk about our Lord, every time I'd mention that Jordan was somebody who's loved immensely, Jordan began to tear up. Could see that wound that was there, and eventually was able to coax that wound out of Jordan. And Jordan pointed to this one moment. Jordan said this: "Really, what's bugging me is my aunt died, and I didn't get to go to my aunt's funeral. And I just want to pray for my aunt. Every time I'm here at church, Father, I don't want to be here because there's noise going on. There's other people around. I just want to be in silence with Jesus. So I go outside for a little bit during Mass, but then I get scared. And then I come back in, and I just want to be in silence with Jesus because I miss my aunt. Jesus knows how my aunt is doing." And so I sat with that little Jordan, that young Jordan. And after talking with him for a while, young Jordan said, "Jordan, it doesn't sound like you can hear God. You want to hear God. You want to talk to God. Well, can we clean you up a little bit? When was the last time you went to confession?" Jordan said, "Father, not since my first confession." I said, "Do you want to go to confession? We can clean things up." Jordan felt really sad because what? Told me a little while before that, said, "Father, my parents won't even take me to Mass very often. And I know that's where Jesus is. This is a note to you who are godparents. If your godchildren aren't making it to Mass, meaning that their parents are deadbeat Catholic parents because they won't bring their children to Mass, it's on you to do it. You got to do it. You made that commitment before God when you presented them to Jesus." So that's what we did. We went to confession. Young Jordan came out, felt so much better. And then we just sat there in the pew. And what we began to do is I began to say, "Hey, you want to pray?" Young Jordan, that young man, that young woman said this. I said, "Sure." So we began doing what we prayed. What? We prayed the Psalms. I began sharing the Psalms with young Jordan. I began with the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me forever." Begin to share with young Jordan that De Profundis Psalm. "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be present to the cry of your people." That other psalm that says, "Lord, where can I go to be with you? Where can I hide from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths of the earth, there you are. My waking and my resting, you know every moment. Search me and know me." Pray that other psalm, the 136th psalm, that says every other line, "Your mercy endures forever. Your love endures forever. Your love endures forever." And over again, we went through these psalms together, and young Jordan felt very encouraged by all of that and wept the whole way. And then what did we do? We sat there in the back pew for a whole hour. Jordan just looking at Jesus, and Jordan let Jesus look back at Jordan. That whole time in silence, letting God love Jordan and Jordan the best Jordan could to love God. I can't tell you the joy that was on the face of young Jordan as Jordan left, went back, and was picked up. That changed me, that encounter with young Jordan. And so I prayed about that a lot. I prayed about that a lot. Lord, what are you asking of us to do here as a parish? Here at St. Rose of Lima, we're your parish. What do you want us to do here in Advent? And so here's the challenge. The challenge that is not coming from Father. I think it's coming from God and spoken through young Jordan. Because what young Jordan did. Here's the challenge. Let's prepare a gift for Jesus. Prepare a gift for Jesus. Why? How? By opening, turning to Jesus and preparing room for Jesus in our hearts. Jesus just wants to be, for Christmas, King of our hearts. Not just king in general of the earth, but king of our hearts. So there's three things that we're going to do. You can see them on the doors. I'm just going to explain the schedule. That's what the challenge is. Confess, pray, and adore. Confess, pray, and adore. Well, how do we live those out? Well, what do we need to confess? What does it mean to confess? Why? Well, when we want to make room in our houses, when we want to make room in our places where we live, what do? We go through the closets. We pull all those clothes that we don't really use out and we give them away. When we go through the drawers, we rummage through them and straighten everything out. We go and begin to organize our houses in some sort of way. We take things out, we clean things up. Then we have room. It's the same thing with our hearts. We need to clean up our hearts. If we were going to put Jesus on the throne where he belongs within our hearts, then we got to make room for him by taking out the trash. Unclogging our ears so that we can hear him. Getting rid of that sin which keeps holding us back no matter how long it's been since we've made that good, worthy confession. How are we going to confess during Advent? You know, 30 minutes before every single Mass, almeno. At least 30 minutes before every Mass, I'm going to be in that box back there hearing confession. Even when we go out to Puerto de Luna, I'm going to be in that box for that amount of time. And if we need more time than that, you just got to let me. If that time doesn't jive with your schedule, if you need another time, you let me know and I will make that available to the whole of the parish, because all of us need to get clean with God, to clear out space within our lives so that he can actually come and visit us and we can hear him once again. Second thing we're going to do, that's how we're going to confess. But what about pray? Do you know why we should pray? What is prayer? Prayer is this. It's just turning our minds and our hearts to God. It's emptying the things that have gone on in our lives, the things of our days, and saying, hey, Lord, you know about this, but I'm going to tell you about it. Prayer is this. Prayer is consciously letting God enter into the struggles that we have and trusting that, God, you're strong enough. You're strong enough to take care of me even when I don't know how this is going to pan out. Lord, you know it. Deal with it. Give me courage. That's what prayer is. It's just a conversation between one person who loves another person. And that person is God, so he can take care of anything. How are we going to pray better during this Advent? There's lots of ways that you can do it. As a parish, this is what the challenge is. We're going to engage in the most ancient form of prayer that the church knows. Done since her very beginning and before Jesus came. The divine office. The liturgy of the hours. The prayer of the church. You see, seven times a day, priests, monks, nuns, deacons, we all come and turn to God. And you know what we pray? The Psalms. The Psalms. We go through the Psalms seven times every single day and offer ourselves to God in that. You know, Jesus, when he was praying, he did the same thing. Because the Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. Every emotion that you or I can go through, every struggle that you and I can have, every joy or sorrow that the human heart has is contained within the book of the Psalms. We're going to pray through those. The way that the church prays, uniting our prayers that we have here to the prayer of everybody throughout the whole of the church. In every language, we'll be praying those exact same psalms and prayers at the exact same time we're praying them. We're going to join the prayer of the church. The schedule is right there on the doors. We're going to do it after every Mass that we have. And if you don't have the prayers, that's fine. Guess what? If you got a smartphone, you can download it. Go to iBreviary, get that app on your smartphone or your tablet, and you'll have it there electronically with you. Or you can just wait, and Deacon and I will print out things that will have you in both English and Spanish, so we're able to engage in the prayer together. That's what we're going to do to pray. But what about adoration? Do you know what it means to adore? What the word means? You see, prayer is something we do with our minds, with our hearts, with our spiritual faculty. Adoration is something that we do with our body. Every act that we do with our physical body to give God glory is adoration. So when you come into Mass and you genuflect, what did you just do? Adoration. When you make the sign of the cross, anytime you do that, that's adoration. When you bow your head at the name of Jesus, at the name of Mary, at the name of Joseph, that is an act of profound adoration. Using your body to praise God. Guess what? Adoration is something we do as human beings, because we're not just spirits. God made us human beings with flesh, with blood, with physicality. And so we use that physicality to adore God. Anytime we use our bodies to worship God, that's adoration. How are we going to do that? When we think of adoration as Catholics, what do we usually think of? We think of what? We think of Eucharistic adoration. When you walked into Mass today, Jesus was here upon the altar there, and we were adoring him Eucharistically present there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. What Eucharistic adoration is what? It's just about sitting in the presence of Jesus, turning our minds and gazing upon him, wishing that we could just taste him, but for some reason right now, Holy Communion isn't being given out and I can't receive him. So I'm increasing what through my Eucharistic adoration? My longing for Jesus. My desire to be with Jesus. My desire to let Jesus be in me and to remain within me longer than the amount of time when Father holds him up at the consecration. That's what it's all about. And so we're going to expand hours for us to adore as a family, as a church. Before all these masses that we have, we're going to have adoration for an hour, for 30 minutes, as the schedule goes right there. Come anytime and participate in that. In fact, between the masses on Sundays, we're going to have adoration. After every single Sunday Mass we have, the Saturday Mass, the Sunday Masses, Jesus is going to be exposed. Did you hear us pray the Gloria today? During Advent, we don't. So we're going to take that span of time that it takes to pray the Gloria and adore our Lord. So we're going to bring him out here. We're going to adore him. We're going to sing those beautiful Eucharistic hymns. And Mass isn't going to be any longer. In fact, Mass has been shorter all weekend long since we've been doing this. And you can stay as long after Mass to adore our Lord as you want. He's going to be adored for 30 minutes at least after every Mass. This is what our Lord is calling us to. You may notice this. That's exactly what young Jordan did. In the midst of her struggles, in the midst of her hardships, by confessing, by praying the Psalms, and by adoring our Lord, just sitting with him. And she left with great joy in the midst of her great sorrow. Advent, I want to make you more like that child, like Jordan. I want to be more like that child, Jordan, during Advent. You have tough times, I have tough times, and the solution is the same. Confess. Make room. Pray. Go through the Psalms. Adore our Lord. He's present here, wanting to communicate to us, and us to communicate the deepest things of our heart right back to him. Advent is about preparing a gift for Jesus. And by preparing room within our hearts. Because Jesus, the only thing that he wants for Christmas is to be able to be king of our hearts, to sit upon the throne. Confess, pray, and adore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.